Hey guys, how are you doing? Hope you did all right during the week and everything. It's nice to see you again. I'm just reflecting on the current world situation that we've been watching all week developing in the direction that mostly we don't want it to go, with some positive exceptions to that. But really, looking at the current world situation overall, it kind of reminds me of Image from a Superman comic a long time ago, which a lot of you probably aren't old enough to remember, but I remember when those came out and they cost 5 cents, and I was watching some of them on reading some on the bus to summer camp in many decades ago. And the deal was that Superman, which you probably remember from the movies, was on a planet called Krypton, and it was undergoing this really dramatic term that they called chain reaction. And it was going to blow up, and the parents were deciding what to do with their baby who would become Superman later. And it's like kind of watching the last days of Krypton, and I hope it doesn't go that way. Obviously, I like living here, and I think this place could be just as beautiful as you can imagine, or more so. But it does feel also kind of like the last days of Atlantis that Thoth was describing before it sank. And according to some of the sources, 65 million people died in one night. Not a very good scene. And the reason that happened is very similar to what's going on in the world, according to the accounts we have, especially from Thoth. And I don't think that has to happen yet. I think there's still time to turn it around. And most people seem to be unaware of what's going on. And just like in the stories about Atlantis, what's going on in the world right now and the degeneration that's around us is not just bad luck or happening at random. In fact, nothing happens at random, as far as I can tell. There's no such thing as happening by chance. There's such thing as us not knowing whether it's going to rain tomorrow or not, but it's not really a 37% chance of rain. It's either 100 or zero, and we just don't know which. But when you look at the two attacks that we've talked about before, the fake pandemic and the paid rioting going on in the cities, which a lot of the participants are so hypnotized and unconscious, they think it's about racial justice, and it has nothing to do with that at all. But looking at the pandemic for the moment, a lot of the people I talked to during the week, not listeners of this show so much, but people in general, seem really unaware of what's going on with the pandemic. And it's not people who are just not intelligent. Some of them are very intelligent, but there's different types of intelligence. If the kind that's measured with IQ, there's some brilliant scientists who are actually not malevolent, who are working on projects that basically are to destroy the world or life in the world in different ways. And some really smart and even well-motivated people are unable to see what's happening behind the facade of the fake news and the hypnosis coming out of the governments and corporations and the so-called health agencies, which we're supposed to worship, because they would never tell you anything that's untrue. Even, I don't know, people, if you look at people doing really good work and even tremendous service to humanity. A couple of them came to mind this week as I saw a really interesting video by a place, a YouTube channel called, what was it? I made a note. Video Advice. This one video that they made had over 1 million views. Very popular, probably because of the big names in it. They had Dr. Stephen Greer and Greg Braden, both of whom have done great work. And it's important to know that the video was made last April, and we're talking in August right now, 4 months ago, when things weren't as developed as they are now. So by now, maybe Greg Braden and Dr. Greer would both have, major updates and edits to the comments they made. But at that time, I don't know, it looked like they really didn't grasp what was going on, as far as I could tell. And I'm not talking from anybody who's, an authority on anything. I'm just saying, from my observation, a lot of people, including some really great people, are believing what's being said in this video. So I want to go through it and mention a couple things and straighten out some of the misconceptions that are still fooling hundreds of millions or even maybe billions of people in the world, thanks to the corporate media that is telling them lies every day. And a lot of people can't believe that. I mean, I've talked to people very close to me, and some of them that are not even aware that they're absolutely worshiping the major media. And it has nothing to do with science or logic or anything like that. It's more like a new religion. I don't know what you'd call it, mediaism or something like that. It's the basic characteristics of it are, look, you believe this 100% or you're bad and you have to be punished. It's not very reasonable at all. So millions of people are brainwashed to the point where they work for these dishonest media operations as well. And most of them, I don't think they mean to do any harm. They're just so conditioned. You know, it happens to us in school and in programmed entertainment and when we're growing up watching the media. And I don't think the problem of what media is doing comes from most of the employees in it. They're, a lot of them are just going along with it because they don't really understand what's happening. But they, what they don't understand is in America, or the implications of this, I guess, in America, the major media is owned by a handful of interconnected giant corporations. The news and most of the commentary comes across teleprompters. And by the way, I'm not looking down at a teleprompter. I wrote some new notes during the week of stuff that I don't want to forget to mention to you. So sorry about that. I haven't memorized all of it. There's changes every day. I spend lots of hours reviewing things. And so I got piles of stuff on the desk here that I'm trying to share the highlights of. But the main theme here is that the news that we get in America and most of the Western world, and it's even worse in other parts of the world, it comes across as these newscasters, in quotes, are told the tone of voice to have, that kind of attitude of condescension or kindness or understanding or compassion. Read the teleprompter with the right facial expression and the right tone of voice and the attitude of concern or ridicule if you're talking about somebody like the evil president of the U.S. or whatever the teleprompter tells them to do. They're high-paid actors, and I'm sure most of you know that, but a lot of people totally don't know it. As a little kid, I didn't know it. I thought listening to the newscasters in the Bay Area and the commentators, I thought, wow, these guys are great. I mean, I can totally trust them, and I didn't think that in detail, but that was the feeling of it, and a lot of people think that still. The ones who don't, the employees of the media that don't go along with that required attitude explained in the media, in the meetings and the memos, they just get fired. So they either lie or they lose their jobs. They get to feed their families or they tell the truth. Their choice. That's not an easy position to be in. So I don't have any condemnation for those people. It's a hard place to be. But back to the video, our time's going to go really fast as always. I want to give you as much that I brought to share with you as I can get to without totally talking at chipmunk speed today. So the video was showing Dr. Greer and Greg Braden talking in April about the virus and the pandemic. And it comes from two separate videos. It's made from one that Greg Braden, I think, gave on London Real, which is a great show that is doing a good job. We know they're great because they've been totally censored recently and they've responded by finding private platforms, which is great. And the other one was Stephen Greer on his own Serious Disclosure channel. And I recommend a lot of interesting information on both of these channels. Both of these people are doing great. Stephen Greer, in case you don't know about him, was an emergency medical doctor. I think he's retired now. He had a near-death experience and an ET encounter when he was in his late teens. And those events changed his life a lot, kind of shook up his understanding of reality and made him open to actually looking outside the conventional box of what's supposed to be true. And he wanted to get to the bottom of, especially of the whole ET issue, which most people ridicule, you know, that we've been trained to ridicule that. Disney was, you know, hired a long time ago in the 50s, I think, to set up the attitude that these little green men jumping out of flying saucers were what ETs were about. And anybody that believed in that was obviously crazy. But Stephen Greer wanted to find out. And over many years, he did an incredible project. The way he approached it was he didn't just ask the average people, what do you believe? And, you know, what are the latest theories or imaginings or anything like that? He went and said, I want credible sources with documentation. If there's no such thing as ET involvement, let's find out. And he got hundreds of very high-level clearance military officers and other people with special corporate clearance above president level. And there are a lot of those, by the way. President is not the highest level of clearance in the U.S. or the U.K. or Europe or anywhere like that for prime ministers. It's not what it looks like. And the people that he talked to knew that they were risking their lives, but they said, you know, humanity needs to know about this stuff. It should not be kept a secret, especially by people who have malicious intent and intend to do some very bad things with it. So some of these people that Stephen Greer got on video, occasionally audio, but usually video, they had actually been sent as part of their corporate, usually responsibility, not on regular levels of the military, to crash sites to collect the so-called crash debris. And I say so-called because these craft were shot down with scalar energy weapons, from what I understand. And the technology was recovered, reverse engineered, and the bodies of the crash victims were disappeared to various sites, many of them underground. This is real. It's not some kind of conspiracy theory. There's what the quality of evidence that Dr. Greer got together. You have to see it, and that's why I recommend going to his site, Serious Disclosure, and as long as he's up there and watching some of the longer lectures that most people don't take the time for. Real interesting stuff. What he found out was that he assembled a huge library of testimonials and documentation and found out that the government's high-level government above president and special divisions of corporate bodies were working with these so-called crash sites and ET involvement since at least the 40s, probably earlier. And Dr. Greer is also very focused on clean and free energy technologies, not just solar and wind. Those are really are, you know, very, very basic. He's talking about magnetic and zero-point free energy and things that you get killed for bringing out. And that's one of the little problems that we have on advancing into these areas, not lack of technology, excuse me, not lack of research. He said that what he found out is these very highly advanced energy and propulsion technologies have been perfected since at least 100 years ago, probably earlier. Some of them have been invented from people here, like what Stanley Meyer did, driving all over the U.S. decades ago in a car, dune buggy, I think it was, that was powered by water. You know, you heard of water, it's all over the place. And his technology broke the water into hydrogen and oxygen. And that, it's been known for a long time you can do that. But generally, they say it takes more electric input than the power that you get out by separating the hydrogen and burning it. Stanley figured out how to do that with very, very little electrical input to do the hydrolysis and came out with a car that drove all over the country with water as a fuel, actually hydrogen as a fuel, water as a raw material. And since it's not safe to talk, yeah, I know it's not safe to talk about, but it's definitely not safe to demonstrate, okay? And he didn't know anything about that. He was one of those smart people, mechanically and technically, not aware at all of what he was dealing with. He thought he'd get rich after, which he deserved to, of course, giving the world this technology that you can run your car on water and it just does the hydrolysis as the hydrogen is needed, so you don't drive around with a giant bomb in your car, which is a tank of hydrogen, more explosive than gasoline. And the exhaust from it is oxygen. Not a bad situation. I mean, even the climate change fanatics couldn't complain too much about that, but actually they don't know. They work for the people who killed Stanley Meyer. And they're not too sharp on what's going on right now. It's not their fault either. I'm not against those guys. They're just being used. So, what Stephen Greer has done, knowing that there are a few of these things that were invented, like Stanley's, and a whole lot of them that are being held by people who have the reverse engineers crash site technologies, he set up a standing invitation. And I went and talked to him about this in California, where I met him once, to anyone to submit one technology like this that could be proven, by a third party who's not trying to make you look good or something. They're just trying to really test it. And anybody that can bring him a technology that works, like an energy, free and clean energy technology, like we're talking about running on permanent magnets or any of these various protocols, the system is set up to instantly release that with no restrictions to the whole world, so it couldn't be stopped. Which is, that was Stanley's mistake. He said, "I'm going to make billions of dollars." It's not bad to make billions of dollars, but because he was trying to do that and he wanted to sell his patent, the agents who'd killed him said, "Oh, that sounds great. We'll meet you and you'll be rich. We'll take your patent and we'll use it for the government, for good things only, of course." And he said, "I know you guys. We have to meet in a public place. That'll make sure we're safe." And so they said, "Rats, you figured us out. Okay, we'll meet you in a public place." And they met in a restaurant and poisoned him and took everything. So he wasn't up to date on what he was dealing with. As far as I know, Dr. Greer's offer is still open. And there's money available. It's just not trillions of dollars for these inventors if their technology is proven. And you can easily find out where to go to meet if you have something real that can be proven, not by you, but by somebody else. So you need to contact Dr. Greer for that. That's the great work, some of it that he's doing, and also exposing the tremendous positive potential of ETs and the craft and the technologies that they're holding. Why do you think they get shot down? It's not because they're bad. Okay, they get shot down instantly if they appear into 3D space at this point, so they don't show up too much like they used to. But his long lectures, Stephen Greer's, I think are worth watching. It's a lot of ET stuff and UFO stuff, but a lot of energy things too. Not crazy at all. And his DVDs, he's made some great movies, and those are worth buying, in my opinion. I've got those myself. So, connected to that, a lot of people don't know that one of the main reasons that JFK got killed was that he was going to go public with what he had found out about the government's hidden ET projects. And Dr. Greer talks about that in detail and actually shows some of the documents. Pretty interesting. That's in the YouTube lectures. And I guess the reason it's not censored is because people have been trained to think that it's all imaginary and crazy stuff. And anybody who believes in ETs, especially not the monster type, they have to be insane. And so it's safe to let it be up on YouTube for the moment. And Greg Braden also has a lot of interesting material on YouTube. One of the ones that I really liked, I'm not talking fast enough to get through this. Is the video of a hospital in China known as the non-drug hospital, where they don't use any so-called medicines, chemical toxic medicines like we do in the West. The video that Greg put up showed a lady who went there from the US, medical tourism, they call it. And it wasn't just to get a cheaper deal on an operation or something, it was to go to this hospital where they do the non-medical medicine, I guess you'd call it. She had advanced bladder cancer, late stage. And the particular hospital in China works on the power of projected mental and emotional images. And mental and emotional is important because the idea is that the emotion that goes with the thought is what gives it power. And that's a long story, and we found out directly that that's actually true. And it's connected to the way through what's happening in the world right now that I think we have open to us if we can be conscious enough to use it. Most people don't experience being able to use the power of projected imagery because it requires a really steady, focused attention, and not just a picture, but an emotional picture of what's of what it what's being projected in an actual reality as if it were already happening. So there was video footage of this lady with bladder cancer lying on her bed, kind of her back propped up, you know, against pillows, and behind her was standing these three Chinese doctors. And they were kind of looking at her from behind the bed and chanting something in Chinese over and over again. What they were chanting, I found out, translated into English, was already done, already done, already done, over and over again. And nothing magic in those words. I've never encountered a real magic word, and I've done a lot of deep digging into, you know, the dark and light sides of the hidden power structure, and haven't found any magic words. But what they do is they choose words that they're going to put focused energy into, and those become powerful. And that's what they were doing here. The same thing as the doctor we had on our show a long time ago on the Sunday show, Dr. Bankston, described that he proved a cancer cure in mice. Amazing. It should have been front page news all over the world if the medical industry was legitimate. But of course, it was ignored. And what he did is he imagined, and he taught other people to do this, and it worked with them too. He imagined the feeling that they would have if the mice were all cured of their cancer that they were given by chemical injections, which happens to lab animals all the time. And they know, they've done it so much, they know how many days till they die and all the details. Not worth getting born as a lab animal at this particular point. Important safety tip to those who are interested in that. But in the Chinese hospital room, the bladder cancer on the screen, it gradually shrank right while they were doing the chanting. I mean, I saw it. It was totally amazing. And this is not unusual. That's what happens at that hospital. And it, you know, you would think it would be front page news all over a legitimate newspaper too. So how can this work? And it's a deep question. Because if you understand that, you understand what I think is our sole remaining option to make the best use of our work in the world to get things to be better here. It's too long of a subject to really cover in a short broadcast like this, but the basic idea is that the world we see around us, this is, gets into the quantum physics and quantum mechanics ideas, it's a projection. It's not real and solid like it appears. Even our bodies, they're projected out of our own consciousness. It's a projection of consciousness, and each one of us is the projector for the whole thing. And that sounds like a paradox and impossibility, but it's actually on a level deeper but accessible than our usual intellect. And it means that every single living being is projecting an image in their consciousness automatically without thinking about it in most cases. And that they're so intricately intertwined, seamlessly interacting with each other, that the whole thing runs smoothly. I mean, it's not smooth in the sense that there are wars and terrorism and all kinds of crazy stuff, but it looks like a seamless multi-dimensional movie around us all the time. And we have the odd experience of being in the audience and being the main character at the same time. You're the main character in your own movie, and you don't realize you're also running the projector, which is a big deal. Because if the projector's in your hand, in your hands, you could change the movie. Some good things could be done. And there's ways that things can be done on the positive side that can't be matched on the negative side. And the people at the very top of the negative power structure know that, and that they can't match it, because one of the laws of nature that they can't break is that as long as you insist on carrying malice toward anybody, which also, by the way, means toward yourself, there's no way to separate that, then you're restricted to the lowest levels of power. And all the people who are all excited about pledging allegiance to Satan in Hollywood or corporations or places like that, it's not really a very good plan, because if you can't hurt other people without hurting yourself, there's no way to do it. That's how things are designed. We're connected at a deep level, and I'm talking to the monitors of this program and everybody else who's listening, anybody in governments, corporations, banks, etc. This is a real serious law, and it doesn't matter who tells you about it. It's actually true. A four-year-old can come up and say, Mr. High-level banker, Mr. High-level, you know, GMO designer, medical industry, interesting person, or whoever you are, you can't hurt anybody else intentionally without simultaneously and later on hurting yourself. If that was the brilliant people running the dark side, if they were smart enough to know that, it would be over now, because they think that they're going to win by doing this. Anyway, the doctors were literally trained in experiencing the reality that they were projecting. So we're all doing that, but they were doing it with specific purpose and focus, unwavering. And they were just using the words to hold the attention there. And they were so good at it and so sure of it and so much experiencing it as a reality that the cancer shrank up in minutes and ended up disappearing. This is a really big deal, not just for this nice lady who didn't have to deal with cancer anymore, but for everybody. There's immense power hidden where it looks like nothing. And if we get smart enough to uncover that and then learn it and then use it, everything can change. So the lady was cured, no poisonous drugs or chemotherapy, no surgery. And that's just one of Greg Braden's many interesting, informative, educational videos. He makes a lot of those, and you can see him on YouTube at the moment, probably other platforms too. But the reason I even brought up the video with on the pandemic, which is what the subject was, and the reasons for it was on the pandemic, and actually also on the reasons for the lockdowns, in the words of Greg Braden and Dr. Greer. And the reason I brought it up is to show that really good people that I admire, Dr. Greer and Braden and many others, somehow miss, we all tend to miss things that are obvious, and later on we can't believe how we missed it, but we do. And the thing is not to condemn other people for the stuff that you can see that they can't, but it should make you think, wait a minute, what am I missing? Because you, the person that would change the projection out of your universe is actually you. And that's not limited by what somebody else is missing. It's limited exclusively by what you and I are missing. So the message to us is to ask, you know, what are we being oblivious to? What should be obvious to us? If we're willing to drop the idea that everything we see is complete and we're not missing anything, then we can start discovering some amazing stuff. And, you know, the purpose of that, the real goal of that, is to wake up the full potential as conscious beings, to even know what that means. It's not some out there just crazy, you know, belief system or theory. There's some real deep stuff going on that we just gloss over all the time. And the rulers want us to stay in that condition so we don't figure it out till it's too late. But we need to figure it out if we don't want things to keep going the way they're going in global suicide, basically. And I'm sure that we can still do it, but can we do it in time before the agenda of the dark side, which is destruction of all life on this planet, not just population reduction, complete extinction, and not just humans. We need to make our change before that happens. It's like Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror, or Woman in the Mirror. That's the only one you have to work on. Because if you change that, you're going to change everybody and everything. So, it's what I've noticed, and I'm going to try to skip over some of the points here so I can finish. It's really what looks like to me is it's emotionally too hard for most of humanity to realize that they're under such incredible coordinated attack. It's way beyond the conspiracy idea. Most of the people who are into that kind of stuff are aware of some collusion between various players, but the bigger picture is really stunning. I mean, you have to do some things with your own focus and consciousness not to be dragged down by it, because it's got a nasty spirit at the center of it. But we need to understand it if we know what we have to start solving. When you drop the preconceptions and relax enough inside so that you get to be receptive to learning the whole picture, it's easy to see the degree of coordination in this attack on humanity. Dr. Greer actually has, in some of the talks on the internet, has talked about Wernher von Braun, a Nazi scientist who was brought over here to work on rockets and things like that. And when he was dying, I think this might be in the 50s, but it's probably later than that. But he was talking about that in the 50s, they had already mastered the deep state, the real deep state that Trump had no idea of the depth of when he took it on. By the 50s had mastered what Stephen Greer called gravity control. And gravity control is being able to fly airborne craft without fuel in the usual sense, just on zero point energy, which is what the so-called flying saucers do. But that's now been reverse engineered in America and other parts of the world. The deep state that we're talking about on that level that has that technology doesn't have any allegiance to any country. They're worldwide in their operations. And the idea that what Dr. von Braun was, I think they say von Braun, something like that. He was warning when he was dying. He said, look, what they're planning is a false flag, like the mother of all false flags, and it's going to be a fake alien invasion, and they've got the technology to do it now. They've got ships that look to the untrained eye, which is almost all of us, like real ET craft, and they don't make noise. And they change direction on a dime, and you know, they don't use fuel, things like that. And they've got the technology to project holographic images and sounds up into the sky and the clouds, and you can hear God talking, say, obey your rulers, forget about the outdated idea of sovereign countries, and you need to come together to fight the common enemy, which of course is them. And that was about gravity control, holographic imagery, and things like that. He said by the 50s, this was already ready to go. And they were planning what would be the right time to launch a fake alien invasion, like in, what was that movie, Independence Day? Great movie with Will Smith and some other people. He said that is planned. It's been planned for decades. And that requires a huge amount of coordinated collusion and not leaking it to the public or anything. So it should be easy to imagine that the current crisis, the so-called pandemic, could fit right into the larger agenda, of which the alien invasion is an element. The main agenda, what I spent about 20 years digging into that and trying to find out how deep does a deep state go, and how does it function? How is it connected to the visible governments in the world? What's their agenda? Where are they going? Why would they want to do this? Because they're obviously into killing all life on Earth, not just population reduction. That's an incomplete picture. Because if you wanted to save the world for an elite remnant, which a lot of people think is what's happening, it's kind of what's on the Georgia Guidestones and things like that, you wouldn't be destroying the life support systems of the planet, all the other species and the ecosystems, and poisoning the genome of the plants and trees and animals with GMOs and geoengineering poison into the soil and water and air. You wouldn't be doing that. You'd just be getting rid of certain unwanted populations. But in the video, you know, by Greer and Braden, it said Dr. Greer is seriously saying, well, the reason for the lockdowns is to flatten the curve. That's the slogan we're supposed to memorize, right, in the beginning. 15 days, I said, would be the maximum lockdown to do this, and then everything would be great. And we knew right when they said that they would try to make it permanent. That's still the idea. not that the virus wasn't real. The virus is real. It's a chimera. It was engineered in a U.S. lab and sent to China to finish and then release. And right before that, they had Event 201 basically announcing what they were planning to do. And Dr. Boyle, who wrote the Convention Against Biological Weapons Research for the U.S., confirmed that it was a U.S. lab that developed it out of many different parts, basically to become part of the coronavirus family, which is a big family of viruses. It's not a specific one. And Dr. Mikovits and others who have been confirmed by the government by vicious attacks on them. Dr. Mikovits sent to prison for telling the truth about AIDS, and others that made it very clear that it was a biological weapon developed in a U.S. lab, which that work has been illegal thanks to Dr. Boyle and Congress, and that George Bush signed it, I think, in 1990. But China helped out, and the U.S. sent a massive grant to the weapons lab in China to make sure that that got done. Incredible damage was originally done to the people in Wuhan, right, that were falling over and having convulsions on the floor and pools of blood and stuff. But later on, it turned out the virus wasn't nearly that deadly, so it may have been helped out by the new 5G systems in Wuhan and places like that. I don't know for sure what was making it seem catastrophic in the beginning, but it's not now. And you know that because they're having to fabricate all the death numbers now. And in fact, even with the fake death numbers where somebody dies in a car crash and they test the body for COVID, for any kind of coronavirus, which basically almost everybody has because it comes from colds and flu and all kinds of harmless stuff. And they say, oh, this car crash victim, he was about to die from coronavirus. So we'll say that's the cause of death. And even with that, the death numbers are so low now, it would be really embarrassing for the authorities. So they're saying cases. That's what we really have to be worried about is cases. And cases mean anybody who's tested with the PCR test, which was designed never to be used for diagnostics, according to the inventor. It couldn't be used for that. It wasn't accurate for diagnosing anything. And even with that understood, it's being used to diagnose coronavirus, not SARS-CoV-2, the specific virus. That's a huge important point and differential point to understand. There, as far as I know, and all the scientists and doctors that we've talked to and had on the air on the shows, there isn't any testing for SARS-CoV-2 going on in the world right now, not for the public, not that we're told about. It's all for coronavirus in order to be turned into a terrifying, you know, worldwide pandemic, which is inaccurate. So the other thing that is being hidden is the treatments that work for it. That's being called impossible. Anybody that talks about it is a fraud and they're lying. It can't possibly be. This is the religion idea, right? You just believe this or you're bad. The UN says believe it. The WHO, which fortunately the US has been disconnected from now, hopefully that'll last, said you must believe this. Everybody says you must believe this. And anybody like Dr. Brownstein, for example, who demonstrated it on lots of patients that you didn't even need HCQ, with IV vitamin C and other things like that. He's defined as evil. He was attacked by the FTC, told not to tell anybody because it's unproven, even though he said, unproven? What are you talking about? Look at all these people I just cured. You know, and they said, no, unproven. And it's not in our acceptable journals. So no matter if you cure everybody in the world, it's unproven. And so he was shut down. And the people saying HCQ works, which it works in almost 100% of the cases, according to the doctors who have used it, and they get shut down, and they get censored, and they get attacked, and they lose their jobs, and they get fired. These doctors that have been called front line doctors in Washington, D.C., they're so brave. They went to the steps of the Supreme Court building. I'm sure all you monitors know about that, too. And you know that they were trying to do something good because they said, look, this isn't a theory. Here's what we did. Hundreds, especially one of them, really enthusiastic lady from Texas, and she was saying, hundreds of patients, they all got better. None of them died. They were old. They had diabetes. They had heart disease. you know, and they still all got better. And the media said, no, impossible. You're all censored. And it's disagreed with the authorities. So it's by definition false. That's part of the attack that's going on. Basically wanting everybody to think it's all hopeless until we get the game changer injection that somehow Bill Gates, I guess, bought his way into all the media and all the medical establishment with billions and billions of dollars. Major supporter of the WHO now after the U.S. has been pulled out. At this point, since 1987, when the medical industry got permission to inject anything into people, and if it killed them, it's fine. They have no responsibility. That was called the Act that was signed, unfortunately, by Reagan, not because he was bad. People do horrible things. It doesn't mean they're working for the bad guys, okay? That's lazy thinking that we're all subject to. It's much more subtle. Reagan was one of those people, I think, had really good intentions to help the country and said unacceptable things like, government is the problem. Yeah, it's not the whole problem. I mean, corporations have now merged with it and the problem got a lot bigger. But he was telling the truth to the point where he had to be shot by another lone crazy gunman who just showed up by coincidence, right? And the presidents who have that attitude to try to help the country, they get attacked by the media, demonized, shot if necessary, whatever is required. But since 87, where all liability for products that kill people was removed from the medical industry, they have become extremely, even more powerful than before. And anybody who want to expose the damage of vaccines and drugs are risking death. Damage that, as Dr. Lebo has exposed in great detail, these drugs are actually designed to cause that damage. What a stupid business model to design anything that would cure people. And in fact, using the term cure is now defined as bad. You're supposed to manage. Because if you manage a disease, that's a drug customer forever. If you cure it, it ruins the whole system. So this is the direction that we're going. It doesn't mean that it's anybody's fault. There's hypnosis and layers upon layer of hypnosis. And even the people who are doing the worst of the bad things, they're actually, what I found out is they're the deepest victims of the hypnosis themselves. And in America, President Trump right now, a couple days ago, he clearly doesn't know anything about nutrition. Well, not very much. He knows not to drink and smoke, and so he does that. It's really good. But he's junk food all the time, and you know, there's a lot that he doesn't know. The Q people who said Trump's playing, you know, thousand dimension chess or whatever, they said that's completely wrong, really obviously wrong. And the ones who say he's a demon, he's working for the bad guys, that's, in my opinion, that's really superficial thinking too, because he's done so many things that are absolutely unacceptable and continues to. For example, a couple days ago, he was giving a talk and said, you know, I've got some really powerful enemies, essentially in the medical drug cartel, and they're very unhappy because I'm trying to cut out middlemen in the drug supply business. He doesn't know that there are much better alternatives to drugs in general. He still thinks medical drugs are really good, which is understandable. Most people do think that. We've been trained to. So he's trying to cut out the middlemen so Americans will pay less. He said that is one of the most dangerous things he's ever done, and they're so powerful and so rich, the people that are getting very upset about that, that we might not be seeing him for a while, which is could be code for he expects that he may not live through it, but he's dedicated to trying to do things like that. Yeah, he's supporting GMOs and 5G and Internet of Things and stuff, but my information is it's because he truly doesn't understand it, and I've met lots of people who are brilliant and well-meaning and also don't understand that either. They're not bad. This is really hard for people to understand. No, there's a lot of good people who they make mistakes and they support things that are deadly. It doesn't mean that their motive is bad, and it's the same in his case. So that was a speech he was giving a couple days ago to say, look, you might not be seeing me if this doesn't go well, but he's going to do it anyway. Just a small hint of the power of the medical drug world, I think. And there are those above the drug industry that are controlling the drug industry and all the hitmen and everything inside that as part of a larger agenda. So when you look at the pandemic, which was supposed to be our topic, right, for tonight, I just had to give a lot of context to it. To understand it, you have to put the pieces of this puzzle together. Don't jump at conclusions. Wait. Look for more. Look deeper. Look for what you're missing. Don't try to defend what you already think. Because if it's true, it doesn't need any defense. It's going to be obviously true. Everybody who disagrees with you is going to see it in the end. So you don't have to worry about that. What you put your attention on is what you don't know already. And when you have to change an attitude or a belief that you already have, no matter how much you like it, be happy because it brings you a step closer to knowing what's true. So we're going to mention a couple of the pieces here in the few minutes that we've got left. Dr. Boyle and others have confirmed that, as we said, the whole procedure was started in a U.S. lab, then sent to the bioweapons lab in Wuhan with U.S. funding to be finished and released. Event 201, we know that happened a few months before, basically announcing that some kind of pandemic was going to happen, and I think it was 2017, if I remember correctly, that Dr. Fauci, the current Reverend Emperor of the world, or at least the U.S., Dr. Fauci, had said, you know, Trump's going to have a problem during his administration. There's going to be a pandemic. It was a speech we've got on video anyway. And so there were all these precursors to the release, and Event 201 was sponsored by the Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum and Johns Hopkins University. And then the new 5G system was turned on in Wuhan before the release of the virus. And 5G is a very interesting frequency that they just happened to choose for telecommunications, right? And I'm kidding there. They don't just happen to do anything. Nothing just happens by chance. I don't know of anything that has ever happened by chance. It's just we may not see the causes. Doesn't mean that they're not there. So the new 5G system was turned on, and 5G is a frequency, as the people who developed it know very well. You know, listen to Barry Troer on our shows from before. It's a frequency that can interfere with oxygen absorption from humans. And the lockdown started then, and in some ways looked logical because the pandemic looked serious, looked really serious, world-threatening. But the lockdowns are continuing now, you know, with what they call the second wave, which is just a manipulation of numbers, basically. And the death rates are clearly a tiny fraction of what was predicted by WHO and everybody else. And that's even switching all kinds of other deaths over and calling them deaths from COVID-19, which we've had doctors on the show verifying that that's happening widely. So how could that be happening, that the lockdowns are continuing now? According to the doctors and scientists that I've talked to, there is no test for SARS-CoV-2 being done at all, as we mentioned before. And the PCR test is not accurate, and the inventor of the PCR test is the one who said that. He said you can't use it to diagnose anything reliably. So we talked about how coronavirus is a big family of viruses, and almost everybody has it. They either have antibodies from the experience or they've got residue from it. So potentially everybody can be positive if they need to spread panic, keep people inside their houses, destroy businesses and stuff like that. So, and even the tests that they're doing that are declared by the inventor to be not applicable or reliable, and they're not for the specific condition. Even the procedure has been questioned recently by some really good news commentators and people on independent news media. They're using a 6-inch long nasal swab to get all the way up into the top of the nasal cavity where you come up against this bone. It's a really thin bone. Somebody said it was a millimeter thick, which is really thin, like paper. And it's porous. It's more like a screen than a solid bone. And the olfactory nerves from the nose that give your sense of smell. You see, the nose picks up particles of things from the air, and they make an electrical impression on the nerves, and that gets sent up to the brain through the cribriform plate, which is in here somewhere. And that the nerves go through that kind of screen-like bone into the brain. You shouldn't be messing around with that bone. It's really delicate. And they've designed this supposed test to not take a sample from the inside of your cheek or your mouth or lower part of your nose or anything, where they're saying that's where the virus spreads from, so that should be a quite adequate sample. No, they have to go way up in near the brain, and that's highly suspicious, and we don't have time to get really deeply into it now, but a lot of people are reporting lasting pain, really long-lasting pain, and loss of the sense of smell, and there are people who are wondering what's being implanted in those tests. And no, that's a totally fair question, because the people who are behind this are not real benevolent characters, you might say. But what's this going to lead to? If most people test positive, which is what this is all geared to produce, then immunity passports, you know, documentation that you've had the forced vaccine, for example, could be required even to get out of your house. And getting a passport, keeping it current, could require a series of injections that just go on and on. And the new vaccine is going to be a game changer, as Bill Gates said, and as Fauci, I think, said, and the WHO said. And it's because they didn't say how it's going to be a game changer. That's the real important detail. It's the first. We've had a lot of scientists on, Mikovits and others, that have explained that it's a DNA-changing vaccine. It basically makes you into a GMO human. It changes your DNA, the basic essence of what your body is, and that genetically modified cell structure inside the nuclei is conveyed to future generations. It's really serious. And that's what they could be requiring people to get, to keep the passports current, so that you could do special privileges like buy food, travel in your car or a driverless car if they get to that, go to the store, go to the bank, you know, special privileges like that if you get the immunity passport. And the censorship around it has been intense, but it's getting worse. If everybody tests positive and there's a terrifying pandemic, even if it's just manufactured by numbers, then you have to have total censorship for safety and the public good, and maybe a permanent lockdown, total destruction, which they're close to now, of small businesses, which are the basis of national security and the economy. Those are in danger of being totally destroyed in the near future, right now, if it's not turned around. The end of any free economy and small farms and private business. As I said, this destroys national security. It can also eliminate the use of cash, which, because it's too dangerous, there could be a germ on it, right? And that would be terrible. And when cash is gone, privacy is gone in all transactions. They all become fully controlled, subject to approval. For example, no firearms transactions, no unapproved books, no organic raw food that would have nutrition in it, no natural medicine treatments or support or unapproved support of unapproved causes, no clean energy technologies. Those would all be against the rules, and money would come from the state, like a universal basic income, which people are dumbed down to think would be great. It's not great. Universal basic income is conditional. It's total control over your activities, money shut off. All the medical so-called care would be by the state through approved channels. Abortion, the baby parts business, organ harvesting businesses, euthanasia would all be part of the approved care. All food would be GMO. This is what comes from total control through the medical system if they get their way, and this will allow progression into the extermination of life in general. So it's what isolation masks, testing, tracking, censorship, and forced treatments are actually about. And the bottom line is this is a consciousness test for humanity. You're in the test right now. So far, we're failing. But the test isn't over. We still have time. So what if people could see where this is going? You know, if we shook ourselves awake somehow, what if we understood the puzzle and stopped fighting about our positions and who's right and say, wait a minute, God, the debate is not the point here to show who's wrong and who's right and who's an idiot and who's brilliant. The point is to solve the problem like a chess puzzle that says three moves to winning. What are the three moves? See, it's not fighting about it. It's making the three moves. What if almost no one agreed to be tested or tracked or quarantined or injected with anything? What would happen if they were all too conscious for that? What if nobody sent their kids to government indoctrination schools? I mean, public schools, sorry. Or most private schools, too. What if no one would turn in their neighbors like the LA mayor wants people to do for money? What if people woke up and realized that all the race stuff is total nonsense? Fighting about it is totally stupid. Evaluating anybody by their skin color is just insane, and it's being encouraged and fed by the criminal media, and we don't have to fall for it. We can just love and support each other, and if you want to know somebody, look in their eyes, see who it is, and if they're having a hard time, help them. You know, the whole racism stuff is totally stupid. What if the police and sheriffs and military would live up to their oaths and refuse to carry out crimes even if they were ordered to do so? Well, it's like what they said in the 60s. What if somebody gave a war? What if they gave a war and nobody came? What if the military and police wouldn't follow unconstitutional orders or their equivalent in any country? Because everybody all over the world has exactly the same rights. They're just not in their founding documents, but the rights are still there. They don't come from government. And what if the police and sheriffs and military would take the time to join oath keepers and constitutional sheriffs and peace officers, which regular CSPOA.org and oathkeepers.org, really worthwhile, take a minute and join it. Even regular citizens who care about this stuff can join those, and it's highly worthwhile. What if the people ran for office to serve the country and not to get the inside track on insider trading and crime of other kinds? What if people realized that they were responsible for their own health on all levels, not some tyrannical health system? What, and this is just the consequences of if people got shaken awake. Some of them, this is contagious. No, I'm not talking about a virus. I'm talking about consciousness. It's definitely contagious, and you can start spreading it. That would be a start. It's a consciousness test, and for us personally, for me and for you, and you're in the test right now. And we're wasting our time fighting over stuff that's not essential. Even fighting over stuff that is essential, we should be doing the stuff that's essential instead. Even if nobody else does it but you, what could you do with no limitations? Most of the limitations we have, we've been taught that we have. What if they're not true? Einstein said, there's enough power hidden inside one atom that could rebuild the whole universe. What does that mean? How much more than that is inside one human? You, for example. I'm not talking about anyone else. You're the one that matters. So one human contains a lot more than that, and that's it. It's a consciousness test, so do it yourself. Pass the test. No matter if anybody else does or not, what they do doesn't determine that decision for you. So then people will come to you for encouragement when they see that you did it, because if you do that, it's going to be obvious. You don't have to say anything. And what you do say is going to have power. So we're in the test room now, as we said. You're just like in a high school math test or something with the monitors walking around watching. Make sure you're not cheating. But, you know, there's no way to cheat. You either pay attention or not. We're taking the test. Even if we're oblivious to it and we don't know we're in the room, I'm over time. I got to wrap this up. The clock is running on the test. It's a time test. You don't stay in it. It's a time test. If we fail, we'll have to go into a remedial class continuing the analogy, and we'll pass it eventually, but it would be take much longer, and I suggest that we pass the test now, and there are ways to do it. So I hope that's interesting to you, because it's like, it's really important, and time is passing really quickly right now, and the dark side is totally organized. It is truly a light against dark situation, but not to hate the darkness. That's a big mistake. You know, you see underneath the facade, underneath all the programming, is the same spirit that's the only real one behind everything. And you can't force somebody else to wake up, so you're going to have to do it yourself. And that takes a lot of courage. And you have to be willing to say, okay, no matter what anybody's doing around me, anybody, what can I do to do a better job on the physical level, take care of my physical body, because it's a vehicle I'm using, and your brain is part of your physical body. That's a really important concept. And that what you do to take care of your body affects your brain. Your brain works better that way, and then the mind can work through it, and all this stuff can start opening up. And then you start learning about consciousness, and is it just crazy, some crazy idea, or is there reality to it? And if you want to find out, you will. So I hope that, you know, puts some context on this so-called pandemic, because it's a real situation. It's just not what we're being told. And you're not insignificant. You're not powerless. You're not just sitting there like what they say, told to hide in your bathroom with masks all over your body and say, oh my God, there could be a germ at any time. You know, your body was actually designed quite intelligently. It's got immunity, and you might want to learn how to activate it. I got to stop. We're way over time. But anyway, I hope you'll care about these things. I appreciate it that you do. And you take care of yourself on these levels, which is learning is taking care of yourself. That's the best way to serve anybody else, your family, your friends, people you care about. To be useful for the world, number one, take care of yourself. Don't worry about the selfishness thing. It's good selfishness, because then you're going to become much more able to help us break out of this situation. You're the one we're counting on, just you. And I'm not kidding. So you might want to consider doing that. So remember, we have a Sunday night show, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. LostArtsRadio.com has directions to get to the various platforms, and right now we're on all of them, or all of the ones that we've had time to get on, I guess. Brighteon is one that doesn't censor. You might want to subscribe. Brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. And we're on Blog Talk, where it's just audio. You can drive around and listen to that. And a bunch of other ones. If you want to support us, that would be really nice, because we don't have commercials or anything. We're just trying to put everything into sharing this, you know, I guess, perspective on what's going on, and specifically not just all the terrible things going on, but the fact that you are super important, and you're carrying so much power, you could turn this around maybe single-handedly. There's that much power inside you. So we don't want to distract from that. But if you'd like to keep us on the air and support the projects we have on hold because there's no money for them, that would be really nice if you have the ability to do that. And that's donate buttons at lostartsradio.com and lostartsresearchinstitute.org. We want to build the school. I'm kind of anxious to do it if it's meant to happen. We have total details, and that's supposed to be built in the U.S., probably in Arizona, for the benefit of the world. It's a very expensive project. If you have the means or know somebody who has the means to help us do that without bad strings attached or any strings attached, it has to be true public service, then get a hold of us, okay? You can email if you have questions or if you have suggestions about the shows or anything that you want to say. We have a Facebook group on Lost Arts Radio Facebook page, or you can email me at richard@lostartsradio.com. What else? We have a Subscribestar channel if you don't want to use the donate buttons on our sites. That's subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And we have a private club if you want to get into that. That's not censored, and it's live and interactive every week. And that's for the people that say, okay, I'm ready to start really working specifically on my own physical body, mental state, emotional state. I want to unlock my potential and pass this test. You're invited if you're in that category. And I figure there are some people who want to do that. That's at planetaryhealingclub.com. That's the portal that you can get in and join us. That page is needing revision. I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to do that shortly. But you can still get in. It's near the top of the page. You'll find it. Planetaryhealingclub.com. I'm going to be there meeting with you guys in 23 minutes because we're 7 minutes behind. If you want to meet us there, you're welcome. And I think that's about it. Hopefully I remembered everything to say. Hope you have a great week. I really appreciate all of you very much. I meant it when I said you're the key player in this whole gigantic picture. It's you. You're a lot more than people say. All of us are. I think that's about it. I'll see you next time. Have a good week, and thanks for being with us. Talk to you soon.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.